Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Cam.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan,
and we've got a guest here today.
My name's Todd. I'm Kiwi Drinks PC.
Perfect. We're doing a homebrew episode.
Yeah.
For our last episode in the 100s.
199.
Coming up to two.
Yeah, coming up to two, which is going to be an insane episode.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So everyone's brought homebrew except for Jordan. We're still working on that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I'm learning.
Learning by not trying.
Uh-uh. Great way. I just went to a brew day at locality.
Got a help out.
So I learned a little bit there.
Jordan has selected a champion for himself.
Yes. Yeah, he's going to pitch
hitter. Yeah, they let me throw some hops in and move hoses and clamps.
How long have you been brewing, Todd?
I've been brewing for maybe 8 to 10 years.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly.
So you got a bit of experience?
Yeah, I pretty much started from the bottom, brewing at home on my stove in like little 10-liter pots. And now I've got a 15-gallon kettle and a 12-gallon mash tun.
Beautiful.
And nice.
Yeah. Few little fermenters and, yeah. Excellent. I do what I can. It's not perfect.
Never is. Yeah.
When you say fermenters, do you just mean carboys, or do you have actual fermenters now?
Just plastic carboys.
Okay. Yeah.
Like wide mouth carboys.
So okay, yeah, the Fermonsters or whatever. Yeah, that's
exactly,
what I just got.
Yeah, like a 7-gallon Fermonster. It's I find it a ton easier to work with than the glass.
Oh, absolutely.
Like the 6-gallon glass fermenters.
Yeah. With a hole
horrible.
That is so small you can't clean them.
You can't clean it for...
Yeah.
And the minute you drop one of those, you swear to the gods that you will switch to plastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have destroyed one plastic one just by dropping some water into it a little bit too hot.
The whole thing
warped.
Shrunk right up.
Oh, yeah. So it wasn't much fun. But they're so cheap. It's like $40 for...
Well, it's better than cutting your thumb off.
Yeah.
And just cleaning up the mess.
The cleanup alone,
it's worth the money.
Big time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've struggled so many times cleaning out the big glass ones.
Yeah.
Just get that cake from like a really active fermentation just won't go away.
You need a brush to get in there. But then you can't get a brush in there because you can't reach. Pain.
Yeah, you can't get a brush in. Just angles on the shoulder. It's horrible. Yeah. And that just the extra weight on the glass is just horrible too.
Yes, it is.
Alrighty.
That's enough talk before a beer, I think.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's get into this.
I was glad someone segued into that.
We're gonna start with Warren because, as always, he's got a saison.
So this one's a little different. This one I actually co-pitched. I used two different types of yeast at the same time. The first was Napoleon from Imperial, which is a Belgian-style yeast. And the other was Philly Sour.
Oh, nice. Mm.
So I co-pitched them at the same time, same day, and what I got as a result is about half and half.
It's a dynamite cheesesteak.
It's not a sour, but it's dry. It's definitely got some lacto in it. And then, the flip side of it, does have a little bit of Belgian character as well. So
nice.
Solid.
Is it perfect? Is it exactly what I'm looking for? No, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Are they ever perfect?
Sometimes. I won best in show once.
So once it was perfect.
Yeah.
I've won a couple of gold medals, but so sometimes they're close to perfect.
I haven't brewed enough to make a perfect beer yet, so.
I don't think I've ever been 100%.
No, you're always going to be your worst critic. Right?
Yeah, 100. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I started pandemic era, so I'm much newer. The fact that I haven't made a total dog yet—that's
pretty good.
Pretty impressive.
Yes.
Yeah, I just had to strain a few through your teeth, but they were still
drinkable. Yeah. But that was just not like now. I transfer into a bottling bucket before. Yeah.
As long as it doesn't go down the drain, it's a success.
Exactly.
When you've had people that really know their beer that pour a second glass, it makes you happy.
Yeah. Wow.
So we'll be drinking.
Saison. It's pretty lively.
Drinking it tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's going to take a sec for this head to die down.
It's literally good 2 fingers of beer.
Yeah, 8 inches of head.
Let's see what I got.
Yeah, we might have to talk a little longer.
It's like we're playing
beer. Or do we want to start with a different beer and then move to the...
No, this won't take long. It's pretty lively, but that's what it says.
You've just got a glass of foam, buddy.
Yeah, it'll settle out.
It's a lot of head.
I know, it's great.
A lot of head, eh?
So I want to take a picture, but not of that. Really loud.
Yeah. By the time it makes it around.
Yeah.
We'll see what we get.
Well, you guys are making it easier for me and Todd. We're getting closer to the beer. Appreciate that. Yeah. Appreciate
take
that.
For the team.
I think Todd is going to get all the good shit.
Well, the beer will show up in this. How many years again have you been homebrewing now, Warren?
I started in 98.
It's a little while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What's that, 24 years?
Yeah.
It took me about 5 years to start making beers that would win things, you know, win prizes. Took a couple of years to make beer that I was really enjoying. That
so
was
three more
you know,
years.
What I envisioned. And then it took a couple more years to figure out how to make a beer that'll win a contest.
Yeah.
Right? So making an awesome beer and making a beer that'll win a contest are entirely different things.
See if we can get some.
Oh, yeah. I'm never
Todd's
really
the only one with beer in his glass.
I'm never really worried about winning an award.
Yeah. I mean, you know, unless you're competitive and you're really trying to work towards something. Or if you have some really weird infections and you need somebody to tell you what's wrong. That's a good reason to enter a contest. Yeah.
Tell me about the yeast infection in my beer.
I'll take a little more because I don't really have much.
I think I can get a sip or two out just to taste it.
I'll take a little more.
Yeah. Well, you might as well top up.
Yeah, does anybody want to?
We have really good aroma notes off of this.
Yeah, so you can smell it. It's kind of
fruity,
almost cidery.
Yeah. Getting some of that Belgian character.
You can get a little of that sour. Whew.
Yeah, that really does smell like a Saison that I've purchased.
So what I would do next time is I would work on the malt bill now. Now that I've sort of arrived at what I need for yeast, I think I need some rye in there, maybe some wheat.
Ooh,
and,
I'm in. Yeah.
That would do it, I think.
Yeah,
I love the Belgian hit to it.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it perfectly, but yeah, it's got that very Belgian... based aroma.
It's that bubblegum sort of thing.
I guess a little bit, but it's not that sweet bubblegum that
some
American Saisons get, which are just gross.
That Philly sour has finished up any sugars that are in there.
Yeah, the dryness at the end is really nice.
So I wasn't getting it quite dry enough just using the Belgian Saison yeast, so I added the Philly to try and get that sourness in there to even make it the perception of it being drier.
Yeah. It's got that funk.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of like an apple note, not in a bad way, but a little bit of an apple note.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that on the lighter side.
Fruity.
But not that awful off-flavor apple. Like, whatever. Yeah, what's that called again?
Oh, like pectin, that green apple.
Yeah, it's not that at all.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's more like a apple juice, apple cider.
Almost like a wine grape thing, too, going on.
Yeah.
Vinous.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy with the direction it's going in. I think I've sort of arrived at what I need to do with the yeast now.
I do say this one is the best one we've had in of your homebrews, in the past episodes.
The Saison series?
Yeah. the Warren Saison series.
The last couple
that is
years.
Really tasty.
Yeah.
It's got like a pithiness too.
What was the malt bill on this?
It's the same malt bill from the last 2 years. Okay. It's just a grab bag of whatever I had laying around, basically.
Yeah, so
it's mostly just Pils malt or pale ale malt. Just base malt, mostly. I don't even know if... I didn't even put in any specialty malt or anything. Yeah, look at the color,
it's
right?
Nice, it's bright.
It's very light. There might even be some wheat or something in there.
Did you do any fining at all, or is it...
No, definitely not.
Yeah?
No.
It's just been sitting?
I might have put some, I think I put some in the boil.
Okay, yeah.
Like some Irish moss?
Wolflock?
Wolflock. Like
I think I put a tablet in the boil.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I did, because sometimes I do, sometimes I don't with the Saison. It depends on if I remember, if I feel like it.
When'd you brew this, Warren? How long ago?
Oh, so this has been in bottles for at least 2 months.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
At least. Yeah. Maybe a little bit longer.
Yeah.
When it was fresh, when it was like 4 to 6 weeks, it was okay. But it as it sat, it got nicer. The Philly worked on it as it sat, and it has it's dried up a little bit.
Well, that's the nice thing about Saisons, too, is... They do tend to get better with age, and you can sit on them a lot longer than...
Most of the Saisons I've made in the last couple of years, they're better after about 8 weeks.
Yeah. Whereas if you're doing that hop bomb IPA, those hops those start are better to fall fresh. Off pretty quick.
Yeah. After about 6 weeks, that's at their peak, and then they start going downhill. But yeah, I was pretty happy with this. It was good.
That's really tasty.
A shout out to Kevin out at Silver Valley. I know he listens occasionally, and it was his suggestion to co-pitch with the Philly Sour.
Oh, yeah. Oh nice.
Yeah, so thanks, Kevin. Worked out.
What hops did you use in it?
Honestly, I don't remember. I would have to go back and look, but I've got a freezer full of old hops that are cheesy and garlicky and
perfect for
they've been around way too long.
yeah,
so I just grab a couple ounces of whatever and chuck them in. So it was probably even Pacific Northwest stuff. Yeah. Could have been even like Cascades or something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
It's kind of funny because at some point when you start to perfect the recipe, you're going to actually have to start controlling
that. I'll have to figure something out. Yeah.
Like you'll still want old hops for this kind of beer. But if you want to replicate it, you can't just, oh, I got this time. It's like you're, I'll use this green because I had it. Like, it's not going to work if you're trying to perfect it.
True enough. I got an idea of what I'd like to use. Probably some type of, European variety.
Okay. But then you got to get it old.
It helps. So you buy old ones, right? There's no shortage of old hops on the spot market. Yeah, they're super cheap, right? That's, was that Black Ops from San Diego?
Yeah.
Those guys, they specialize in funky, spontaneous beers. Really, yeah. And they pretty much exclusively use old hops. Wow. So they pick up 2-3-year-old hops super, super cheap. They don't pay for yeast. Like, these guys are making money.
Yeah, no doubt. The only people in the industry making money right now.
they're doing mostly sours and things like that, right?
Wild, so there's not a lot of hops anyways. Yeah.
I mean, I know Modern Times isn't making money right now.
They used to.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing about aggressive expansion.
They closed like four locations.
They closed like every location except for San Diego, didn't they?
I thought they only closed four, but yeah, they're closing a lot of locations.
Yeah, it's... They're cutting back big time.
It's not good.
The aggressive expansion pre-COVID doesn't help things.
Let's finish up that jug there. So
yeah,
Modern Times. They're like talking about Modern Times. Awesome brewery. I went and visited them a couple times in Portland.
Nice,
amazing. It's sad, but obviously something wasn't going right.
I think it was the crazy expansion, probably.
Yeah, overdoer.
Well, too aggressive, too quick, pre-COVID.
Yeah. And then COVID
comes and kicks you in the nuts. And screws you.
Yeah.
Hey, capacity limits and shit.
You can't have people in here for a couple months, and then maybe we'll let people in, but maybe not. Half capacity, and maybe...
Half people don't even want to go out.
Yeah, it makes it rough.
Who could have predicted it, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the government.
Bill Gates. If we're going to talk about...
Conspiracy podcast now? What?
If we're going to talk about breweries, Hair of the Dog is shut down or shutting down in Portland, which is brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been a few that just haven't been able to make it through the COVID situation.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the craft beer, beer in general, the market's declining, right?
Yeah.
Young kids are not into it.
/ they can't afford it anymore.
I don't know about that because I was on Brewers Row the other day and it was like all young 20 years. Yeah, it was like I was really surprised. They're like carrying pizzas from one brewery to the other, hitting the food trucks. It was really nice.
Yeah, I think part of that too, though, is like the park's right there.
It's a destination.
Yeah, it's a destination.
Yeah, well, you can just start at one end and go to the other two, and there's enough food to keep you going. Right. Like one person had lobster rolls, the other person had tacos, somebody got pizza, and we all sat at the same table.
Yeah.
And then you go get your Rocky Point ice cream.
Yeah.
And then you get stumble back to the train to go.
A big part of it too, I think, is it's the urban centers that are feeling it the most. If you go out to the suburbs, all those breweries they're thriving. Young families and stuff.
Because they're staying close to home, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's staying close to home, and also everybody's getting pushed out of those urban centers because they can't afford the rent or the housing.
Yeah.
And the breweries can't afford that rent anymore either.
Yeah, so
that's what you're going to see with Brewers Row. They're going to run into some issues over the next 10 years.
Yeah, as that area develops.
Yeah, the
I'm
city
working
wants
in those
to,
apartments that's right the down the road.
Yeah, the ones. Yeah.
Well, what are they doing with the mill, too? Aren't they tearing that down and building shit there,
so
too?
So the city plan involves a huge waterfront boardwalk with all entertainment and buildings and all this stuff. They're going to put all they're going to put all those breweries out of business. They're all going to have to leave because they won't be able to afford that neighborhood anymore.
Yeah, probably.
They're going to destroy a good thing.
They're going to destroy what made that neighborhood cool.
Yeah. By
goddamn
developing
people.
It further, they're going to ruin it.
Humans always ruin everything.
Hey, I don't know about you guys, but my glass is empty. Should we get into cams?
Let's do it.
All right. So. Yeah, let's do a rinse break.
Rinse break.
Edit cam.
Never gets old, boys. Never gets old. All righty. Round two here. So,
all right, let's crack
this
beer.
So you got a pale ale, you say?
Pale ale, ISA.
Okay, so an over-hopped pale ale.
Yes.
the way it should be.
So I got a pound of Eureka hops from a friend of mine for free a while back.
That's a good price.
And they were sitting in my freezer for a while, and I was like, what am I going to do with these?
Eureka!
What are you going to do with them?
Never used Eureka hops before, so I go online, kind of check the hop profile.
Yep.
It's like 16% alpha acid content.
Jesus.
And I'm just
like higher than Chinooks.
I'm like, well, I'll just do my usual base pale ale recipe.
Yeah.
And just throw a shit ton of the hops at them and see how the flavor turns out and kind of get an idea for the profile. So I put about.
Pretty light looking malt.
It is
super clear.
Put 2 ounces in the boil, or no, an ounce in the boil at 30 minutes, and then whirlpooled with about 4 ounces at flame out, and then dry hopped with 2 ounces at high krausen, and another ounce about 48 hours before I kegged it.
Wow.
So. It's been sitting in the keg for about a month, so I found it's gotten quite a bit more bitter, a little less tropical, but I'm super happy with it.
I love the nose on this thing.
Yeah, it's almost, to me it's almost like bubblegum sweet. Like,
it's a tropically bubblegum.
Definitely that sweet, fruity.
Juicy
kind of
fruit.
Thing,
yeah, something like that.
Juicy fruit is probably a really good
description.
Yeah. I used to love that gum.
Malt is just 2-row, a little bit of oats, and then chit malt for the head.
Okay. Yeah.
It's
gonna so
move
it's
you.
Getting just a hint of like something caramely or whatever.
Yeah.
Toffee.
Yeah. So it's like I wanted to keep it super simple so you could just get
so
the hop profile.
Shine. Perfect.
And
it's
didn't really even
tasty.
Do any water treatment. That's just
doing.
Straight up Chilliwack water. So.
You got really good water in the lower mainland here. You can make great beer without any additions to the water.
Yeah, although Chilliwack is not the same water source, I don't think, as us.
No, it's not. But it's they had really good water up until a couple of years ago. Until
they started treating it.
Yeah. It's still pretty damn good, though.
Yeah.
So talking to at least 3 other brewers there, you're talking about water, like water chemistry or water additions.
Yeah.
Do you guys put any gypsum, calcium
I do,
chloride,
usually. It depends on what I'm making.
Okay.
Right. So I've made zillions of beers without any additions whatsoever. I made an ESB that won bronze in the BC Beer Awards that had no additions whatsoever. It's just straight up tap water in Pitt Meadows. So
it's good water out there. Trust me. Yeah. I bathe in it.
But saying that, I do usually make adjustments, especially if I'm making a saison or something like that. If I want it to be end up a little drier or a drier perception, then I'll use the appropriate.
I'm not quite. I've done it once, but I'm not quite there yet. So I've just step back on the water treatment for now.
It's not necessary here in BC, honestly, but it's just that one little extra thing that you can do to make your beer just that much better.
Yeah.
And if you do enough of those microscopic little things, then you'll have that edge, right?
Until you do too much.
Yeah, it's easy to screw it up.
Yeah. Big time. Because,
But the water here is so easy to work with. It's such a blank canvas that it's – kind of hard to screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to bring it back to this beer, boys.
Yeah, this is bad.
I kind of, from my first taste, that nose kind of transferred to my tongue. Then, like, the nice bitterness and dryness at the ends.
Yeah, it's I get a bit of a, since the first time. Almost like a piney, spicy kind of thing up front.
Piney, pithy, spicy thing,
and then
yeah.
it moves into the fruity, tropical kind of thing.
It's less bitter than a sort of like a pith and pine. Yeah.
Finishes nice and bitter, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's definitely finishing more bitter than when I first kegged it.
Yeah, it was a bit juicier before because I had tried it a couple weeks back. A
little less of that spice to
yep.
it.
Yeah. So it's dried out a little bit as it sat.
But, I mean, it's a Kvik beer, too. So.
Yeah.
Oh. That would explain
what,
a lot.
What strain of Kvik did you use?
This one was Hornindal.
Oh, yep. Nice.
Okay. Not my usual one, but I got it for free, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Good price. Sounds like this beer was a good price all around.
Yeah. It was just malts I had sitting around and free hops and free yeast.
So. Sit your time and some propane.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, I'm all electric now.
Oh. Yeah. So it costs nearly nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, electricity is not the cheapest in the world sometimes.
Oh, I've had free beers before where all I spent was the electricity for the stove.
Yeah.
For sure. That's always a good feeling when you're drinking those ones.
Yeah, the kitchen sink beers, I like to call them, because it's whatever you have left over thrown in, right?
Well, I've had ones where I was gifted malt. I had a buddy who knew somebody who worked at in North Van at the grain elevators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they take a sample. It's like a 1 pound or a 1 kilo sample bag they take off of each of the cars.
Yeah.
And they grade it, and so they know which silo to send it to, right? So they end up with all these, like, bags.
Just random bags. Of
And most of them are base malt.
Yeah.
So I guess they had them laying around, and they were like, going to chuck them, and they're like, "Dude, you want these?" And so I got a phone call or a message one day, and they're like, "Hey, you want these?" And I was like, "Free malt? Yeah, I'll take it."
Yeah, yeah, no shit, yeah.
So I think I got like 10 pounds from them or something like that. Nice. And then I had another – my brother-in-law grows his own hops in his backyard.
Yeah. Nice.
And it was that time of the year, nice. So I went out and I picked the fresh hops. And then I went and I picked up a jar of yeast from Red Racer. And then Big Gary handed me a sanitizer bottle and pointed at a tank. He goes, "Get it off that one."
Pays to know people.
It does, yeah.
And so I came home and made a beer basically for free. I just paid for the electricity and, my time.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, that's how, in a similar way, that's how I got my burner for homebrewing now is just through the Van Brewers Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
And let's face it, too, your time's worth nothing anyway. So another freebie. I know, that's what I'm saying. Congrats on that, too. I don't think we've addressed that. And you got more brew time.
Yeah, well. Yeah. I'll be working again before the year's out. Likely.
But yeah, I mean, for never using this hop before, I'm pretty happy with how this turned out.
So. Yeah. It's a single malt.
Single hop.
Single hop.
Yeah.
So it's almost a smash, just had a couple malts.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's all Eureka. I thought about doing a smash with it, but I wanted to have a bit more body to it.
Yeah. No, it turned out nice.
Bang on 5%. I didn't want it to be too thin.
I'm almost getting a hint of strawberries in the finish.
Yeah, it's a really interesting,
really interesting hop. Yeah.
Like, I do want to use it a lot more. So I think I've had other beers that used it, and they were nice.
I'm not getting strawberry myself, but I know I have. It was a long time ago now, but I think the brewery was called like Hell's Basement out of Alberta, and I got some of their beer, and only from the hops there was a like distinct strawberry
like
flavor.
A berry flavor. Yeah.
So yeah, well, I'm not getting it. Definitely could be there.
Stupid heater.
Yeah, if you hear that, that's the heater.
Cam, edit that out.
we need some dead air for that.
We'll give you some at the end.
So, what kind of brewing systems do you guys use? You're all electric, Cam?
I'm all electric, all one vessel.
Is that like a grandfather or robo brew?
It's robo brew, yeah. Okay. Robo brew 7-gallon system.
Nice.
So, mm-hmm.
That's got a built-in pump and everything?
Yeah.
Should do. I had a separate pump, but I got it all for $300 from a buddy that decided he wasn't going to drink anymore. So
nice.
What got a loser.
He used it twice. Got out of the hobby. So
really, wow.
Yeah. So
wow.
I basically got it brand new. And he had built the Whirlpool edition with the magnetic pump.
Wow.
So he gave me all of that for $300.
Sweet.
And all his grains, all his old hops. So.
It's yeah. not a bad deal.
That's freaking awesome, man.
Yeah, I wasn't complaining.
Oh, shit.
So I'm, I've done a few upgrades over the years, but currently I'm using one of those large beverage coolers as you know, the cylindrical ones that they use for Gatorade.
Like for football games. Ton?
That's my mash tun. It's got a false bottom.
I got one of those for sale if anybody's interested.
That's the exact same thing I use for my
And I've got a, then I've got a large stainless pot for my kettle. And
zero propane?
Nope, I'm using electric. Okay. I'm using my kitchen stove. The pot's big enough that it covers two burners, or a burner and three quarters.
Yeah.
So I turn on two burners. Takes almost an hour to bring it to a boil, but it's still nicer than having to go outside and dick around.
Yeah.
Right.
And, especially in wintertime.
And I have an immersion chiller, and I'm right close to the sink and all that, so it works out.
Nice.
I added a pump a few years ago when I got tired of lifting heavy vessels full of liquid.
Yeah.
And that's been a lifesaver. I love it.
Yeah.
And chugger.
That's what I got to get. That's the one thing I really need is a freaking chugger pump.
Right? So I broke down and bought one. It must have been 4 or 5 years ago now. And then I bought a bunch of silicone tubing with the cam lock fittings just because they were cheaper than the other ones.
Yeah.
And then, since then, I've been just loving it. The only problem with the chugger pump is it moves so much liquid, you have to throttle it at the output, like, extensively, or else you would just, like, get a stuck mash instantly when you're recirculating.
Or spray it all over your room.
Yeah. It's got power, that thing. It's amazing when you open it up.
Oh, they'll
go. Oh, yeah. But it's been great.
Awesome. What about you, Mike? What?
I was doing stovetop up until recently, but my my kettle was too big for the stove, and I've got an old shitty stove, and it was not liking it. And then I got offered like one of the, I think it's a Bayou Classic.
The Bayou Classic
burner.
Banjo.
So
yep.
Oh, that using was, that now.
You find that on like Van Brews Club on Facebook. Yeah, yeah, I saw that. I almost tagged you, and I look at the comments, and it's like, Mike's like, I'll take it.
It was the best price ever, free.
Yeah.
So I was like, yep, I'll take that. I'm just brewing out of my deck now. And
that boils a little quicker, eh?
Yes, I've only done one brew on it so far. Way better boil, yeah. Because I was having a problem with not boiling off enough liquid, which is so frustrating. So now I've got that, and it's doing really well. And then, just pot. And I've got one of the, what are those, mash tun, the Mash King mash tuns. And basically one of the Gatorade coolers.
Yeah.
The Home Depot special.
Yeah.
That's what mine is. I have some of the same stuff.
I actually went down to Bellingham to get the cooler because it was cheaper.
Yeah. And then, what are they, for monsters now. I've been using the huge glass ones that...
Well, I love the Fermonster. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You have an airlock on your Fermonster still, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
So I use the silicone one-way bungs. They're meant for, like, casks or, like, barrels.
Nice.
And that means that the airlock never dries out. It's just a one-way silicone valve.
Huh.
How would that work, though, when you're doing a beer, like in a Russian Imperial Stout, where it wants to rock it out like
that
a
would
friggin'
be bad if it was foaming up and coming through there.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, because
it'd probably pop it right off.
Oh, a lot of my beers lately have done that. Yeah,
you need a blow off hose would be.
I learned how to use one of those airlocks and attach a hose to it and use it as the attachment for the hose I was literally, I was in my bedroom because it's in the room, my second bathroom we don't really use, and I could hear this. And I'm like, holy shit, what's that? And I go in there, and there's crazy jet engine sound and just bubbling out this black, like, sticky liquid, and it's starting to bung up all the holes.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just about to go. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a loose leaf dry hop, and with an airlock as well. We didn't have a blow-off tube at the time.
Yeah.
And it just blocked up the whole airlock, and there was hops all over the ceiling, all over the freaking walls.
I saw a quote somewhere that said, you're not a home brewer until you've mopped the ceiling.
See?
Well, my kitchen ceiling still has a little bit of beer on it,
I won't say anything about my home brewing because everybody's heard the story a million times.
Yeah.
My shit actually blew up in the bottles. in my man cave because my wife put them upstairs because in the hottest day of the year. Yeah. It's perfect.
Good old bottle bombs.
Yeah.
Yeast and sugar. Yay. And
Todd, you've got the similar system with the propane burner.
Yep. And, I have a Bayou burner as well. I don't know if it's the same one. They make a bunch of different ones. And 15-gallon kettle, like stainless steel kettle, and the same like Mash King or whatever it is, mash tun essentially with this. I got 3 7-gallon Fair Monsters.
Okay, yeah.
Those are the best.
Oh, yeah. I'm never going back.
Get your arm inside them and clean them, for God's sakes. Yeah. Hello?
As long as you don't scratch them up too much on the outside.
Yeah. Use a microfiber cloth.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about your system, bud, why don't you crack open one of the beers you brought here?
Do you have a counterflow chiller or an immersion chiller?
Just an immersion chiller.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
I would like to expand. But I just don't have space, to be honest.
Right. The only hard part about the immersion chiller is that with the kettle that has the thermometer in it, it's hard to get the immersion chiller in there.
Such a pain in the butt. The probe.
Yeah, around the probe.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're using, like, doing an imperial stout, you can't see shit.
How far
shit.
Is that probe going? Like 3 inches or something?
No, it goes like halfway in the pot.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Damn. Yeah, I never thought of that. I don't have that problem because I don't have a probe built into mine. I just use my.
Oh, we have enough for thermopen. Cold pours here.
I noticed that one. Well, did you open all three?
You sure did.
Probably only needed two.
Well, let's just fill our bottle or fill our glasses anyways.
Oh,
right?
No.
So we got. It looks like we got a hazy IPA going on here.
Yeah. So it's a hazy double IPA.
Double.
It's pretty fresh though. It's not exactly what I really want. To be honest,
a more chunky.
It's supposed to be kind of like the vaporwave from Twin Sails, like a little bit salty, like sea salt kind of IPA.
Yeah.
But it's not really what I'm freaking going for.
Well, I'm just gonna try again, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's
the first time with the recipe.
It's first time with the recipe. Need some tweaks? Oh, big time. Yeah, it's something.
Smells good.
Oh, the nose is there for sure.
Yeah, it's got a really, really nice good. Nose. It does. Color. It does smell kind of salty. Mine is
yours is cloudy. Mine's a really nice, orange and
yours might just be a little bit mixed up.
Yeah. Getting a mix of like the piney and the fruity.
Yeah,
but mine looks like a super flux beer, right?
It does. Yeah. Mine's in between.
Mine's in between too.
It comes out at about 7.9%.
Oh, hey now.
So it's pretty much a double.
Yeah, that's a dipper for sure.
But I there's a lot of things I would do differently with it.
But you're your own worst critic.
Smells nice.
Yeah.
It's got a really nice nose for sure.
It's resiny and fruity at the same time.
So I used Mochwicka, Amarillo.
All the expensive ones.
What else is in there? I can't even remember what else there was now. Mochwicka and Amarillo are probably the two big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some Nelson. There's some Nelson Savon in there.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, Mike.
Yeah.
Do you have a bias towards the New Zealand hops?
Well, I'm from New Zealand, so what can I say, right? I love
they
using
make, they make some good ones, though.
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
They,
yeah.
Make,
oh, yeah.
They make some of the best hops in the world.
Nelson's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've brewed with it a couple times. I need to actually brew up IPA again. It's been a while now.
But yeah, it's not what I really want at all.
It is bitter.
Yeah, it's way too bitter for me.
But how long has this been sitting in bottle conditioning for so far?
This is only, I bottled it 2 weeks ago and that was it.
And
it's way too fresh. Way too fresh.
And I only gave Todd one day to know he was going to be joining us on this podcast. So
yeah,
like it's got lots of grapefruit rind to me.
Yeah,
bitterness,
especially in the finish. But I think in a couple of weeks that'll die down a bit.
She'll settle for sure.
But yeah, definitely still tropical. Like got sort of a whiny thing going on. Sounds like you said there was maybe a bit of Nelson in there. Yep. I could see that.
You do get a little saltiness though.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's a little too much saltiness, like more saltiness than I was.
I think
definitely after.
Like they're saying, it will settle down in a few more weeks. Because I even know you were fingering me earlier when you said Warren had like how many eight plus weeks in.
Two months and he turns and
fingers me the middle finger.
Well, I've always got another batch going, right? Yeah. So it can sit for a few months while I work on the ones that are a few months old already from the last batch, right? You know what I mean? So I always age them appropriately.
Well, if I had just actually got to bottling my other beer, I would have had another beer here, but
I think that's
still
okay.
Aging.
I think that's okay with all these like higher percent beers today.
Well, it's my smoke and mirror clone.
Okay.
You know. That would have been nice. We'll see.
I don't think I've tried this one.
No, it's not the one I brought. That's the one I have the bottle still. Yeah.
I want to try that one.
So do I. Just need to actually.
I scaled that recipe down for you.
You did, yeah.
Now I'm curious.
So it was full size batch to homebrew batch.
What was the malt bill on this bad boy?
You've got Pilsner malt, malted wheat, flaked wheat, flaked oats, and rolled oats.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's making sure it's cloudy.
All the hazy heavy hitters.
Pretty much. Like it was supposed to come out at around 8.1, but I just fell a few points short on the
0.2.
Not bad.
That's pretty close.
Yeah,
that's pretty damn close. I've had some where I'm like, oh yeah, well it hit like 7%, and like it's 5.5.
It's in a weird one though, because I fell a few points short. To start with, so my
but then
OG,
it fermented out further.
Yeah, so it fermented out. It was supposed to stop at 10.16, and it finished at 10.12.
Perfect.
Which kind of makes up for it, but I also didn't want it to finish that low.
Yeah, I'm fine. I wanted it to be a bit sweeter, getting that little bit of sweetness that you would expect out of it, because you said a vapor wave is kind of
exactly
your, and
I definitely wanted
those. Definitely those ones are pretty sweet sometimes.
Well, and then no acidulated malt, too, which is what Vaporwave would have used, that's right?
Oh, really? So,
Yeah.
What's acidulated malt again?
It's just malt that's been sprayed with acid. So it's going to bring down the pH of your mash a little bit.
Okay,
You can achieve the same thing just by adding acid.
Yeah.
Like I
like
do.
Lactic acid or something like that.
Lactic acid.
LSD? Yeah. No. Oh, this beer.
Kind of acid.
I don't even think I'd fuck with that beer.
Yeah.
The MK Ultra beer.
The beer color is speaking.
So yeah, acidulated is just a shortcut. It means you don't have to keep acid on hand. You can just add a certain amount of acidulated malt to affect the pH.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm liking it. I think when it settles out a bit more, it's going to be really enjoyable.
I agree. Yeah.
With a bit of time,
Sorry, bro.
It's still a little past up front.
To me, it could have done with like another 3 to 4 weeks.
Probably.
Before it would be.
Just be happy you're on this episode. Before 200. We got you. We'll have you back again.
Well, we're going to keep doing homebrew episodes.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we're going to plan to do a homebrew all together and then drink that with other homebrews that everybody else does too.
Yeah, and we probably should all just, especially me, homebrew more often and do these more often too.
You? Look at this guy. Everything's just sitting around doing nothing.
I need to do a brew in the next week or two, so.
My resolution this year was one brew a month. So
nice.
I just got the email before we sat down that my order for this month has been picked.
Beauty.
From Gold Steam out in Chilliwack. Shout out,
Jason.
Nice.
What are you brewing next?
Black IPA. Ooh. So I've got some black malt and some rye malt coming.
Do you mean a Cascadian dark ale?
I was going to suggest that. It's slightly different. It's not quite the same thing.
I'm sitting on a shit ton of Cascade hops right now. Oh. So
Cascadian dark ale, maybe.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, black IPA, Cascadian dark ale.
They're close.
Similar. It's the same thing. Just a trademarking issue.
Yeah. Ask Eli at Steamworks how he feels about it.
Fully aware.
Oh my.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, for this beer, like, I'm loving the bitterness off of this thing, but I love my beers bitter and dry. So
yeah, I think this is probably more bitter than the Twin Sails.
Yeah.
I mean,
which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Personally, I would like a little less of that grapefruit pith, but that's just personal taste. Like
that.
I mean, much like Jordan, we like the sweeter double IPAs.
Yeah.
And so do I, to be honest. Yeah. And that's why I'm not particularly thrilled with it. I don't mind it, but there's
just not what you definitely wanted.
Things that I would change with it.
From my experience, in 2 weeks, that grapefruit rind is going to die down, and you're going to get a lot more of that tropical coming through. It won't be so hot. That hot burn is going to go away.
Big time,
You'll hopefully be where you want to be, but... I know as a home brewer, you're your worst judge.
Absolutely.
And like, I don't think you should be upset by this beer. I definitely am not, so.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
So, Jordan, what's going on with your homebrew situation, buddy?
I blow shit up. Well, actually, I could give that to my wife, but I just haven't had the chance to get into this new system because it's actually Cam's old system.
Yep.
So he's going to come over and teach me a few things. I got to buy some hoses and stuff, but just having the new baby in the house has been a lot.
Plus, I've
been
doing some of your time or something?
A little bit. Plus, I've been doing all those other things. I just... was actually included in a brew day at Locality with Barn Owl for their brewing Irish Red Ale for St. Patrick's Day. So you can look out for that, I guess. And other than that, I still suck at home brewing. Thanks for asking, Todd.
All right.
Hey, we'll set up a day. We'll do one of my recipes.
We'll get all the boys there. Yeah, we'll get you guys out, and we can do it at my house. It's kind of equal for everyone, and we'll call it the First Pacific Beer Chat Boys Brew. Yeah. I don't know.
We'll do a recipe that we all know and dial in the system.
Cool. Sounds good.
Now, what sounds good is that bottle popping.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
The way you looked at that.
That's what we like.
It stuck a little bit there. I was like...
I was worried it was going to...
My wife doesn't even look at me like that.
Oh, wow.
None years,
eh? I'm joking. She loves me. At least she tells me she does.
So, Mike, this beer is looking a little dark.
It's an attempt at a Russian Imperial Stout, but this is my last brew on my stove.
Okay.
So the supposed 11%, it's about a 9% beer. Yeah, we'll see.
It looks like it's got a nice dark head there.
Oh, yeah, it's carbonated pretty well, yeah.
That's a deep tan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's deeper than tan.
That's got to be one of the darkest heads I've seen.
Yeah.
I've seen darker.
That's really nice for a good homebrew Imperial Stout to get a nice dark head like that.
I smell roast.
Nice. Oh, that nose is just... Everything I want from a Russian.
Everything I want.
I'm still pouring here.
Just put it in and around my mouth.
It doesn't smell sweet, though. It smells like it should be dry.
No, it's
I'm almost getting a hint of smoke in there, too.
As we all know, there's two types of beers I like. It's IPAs and high gravity stouts.
You can't see through this. This is literally black.
No, I'm I'm across from Cam. I put it up to his face, and all I can see is my reflection off the glass.
Yeah.
And
nothing else. Black. Yeah. None more black.
Nice reference. How black more can it be? And the answer is none. None more black.
None.
Oh.
What kind of grain bill are you getting? Almost like a
roasty.
Roasty.
Chocolatey.
Kind of rye.
Little coffee.
I'm getting that umami thing, too, with the soy sauce thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got that at the end.
Yeah, like umami kind of rye, kind of bland.
Super rich.
I got golden naked oats, black malt, roasted barley, chocolate malt, two row, and that's it.
No, there's still some sweetness in there, but it's not like too much. It's not like sickly sweet.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just you don't like sweetness as much as I do. But I'm even finding this is very pulled back.
And it's sweet. The sweetness is there, but it's balanced because you get that bitterness in the finish.
Mm.
And I forget what hop I used because I already had the hop. I didn't buy it on this order, so can't remember what it was.
Drank too much of your own Imperial Stout.
I don't have my written recipe from at home. I just got my order from...
What's the percentage?
It's about 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
That's pretty smooth for now.
Is it ever?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're not getting that bitterness that you get out of some of these Russian Imperials where you have all those dark malts and you kind of overload the dark malts.
Yeah.
That's a mistake I've made before. This is really well balanced.
Yeah. Damn.
And it's nothing what I wanted.
This might be one of your best ones yet.
Yeah, and it's probably my least favorite Russian Imperial stout so far.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I like a nice dry stout, so this is
working for me.
It's not even that. I wanted more chocolate flavor in it.
Yeah.
I would like it sweeter, but I wanted a little more chocolatiness, and I'm not getting that.
Yeah, so I think the chocolate flavors are going to come from the lighter roast grains, like the light chocolate malts and the chocolate malts and things like that.
Whereas, yeah.
I think you got a little more of the darker ones in here that are giving you more of that burnt kind of
roast. I would tone back on the roasted barley.
Maybe
the darker stuff.
Maybe get rid of the black malt.
Yeah.
That's the only, like, black malt and chocolate malt is the only thing, and there's not much of either, really.
So the black malt's going to give you more of that bitterness associated with the roast, with the color.
Maybe I'll just drop that and just add chocolate malt.
I would look at even a brown malt instead of a chocolate malt.
At the same time, though, if you're going to do a whiskey edition, this is the beer to do it.
Yeah, true.
Because it's not going to end up overly sweet.
Yeah.
Although I'm also going to...
Even if it's just like the wood chips.
I'm also going to boil it harder next time and it'll be stronger.
You said this is the last one on your stove, too. So now you can actually get the temperature where
hopefully
you want it to be. Maybe just don't do it when it's minus 10 tomorrow or whatever.
Just don't brew on a windy day.
And if you're going to concentrate it down a bit more, then maybe you don't want it to be much sweeter because that'll just concentrate the sweetness a little bit.
No.
Right? So...
As I look at Jordan, I like a sweet Russian Imperial stout. So.
Yep.
Yeah. I love a sweet stout myself.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say milkshake stout, but like a sweet stout.
Yeah.
Oatmeal stout.
Words pulling through.
Yeah. I don't want to add any lactose, but I want some sweetness from the malt for sure.
I'll even allow you to allow lactose.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want to go there yet.
Boil.
Longer boil for sure.
Yeah, boil will give you some more of that caramelization.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and again, this is the last one that was on a pretty sad boil. So.
Yeah, so with a more vigorous boil, that might help. And
if I remember right, this is a 90-minute boil, I think.
Yeah, probably.
If I could do like a 2-hour boil.
Yeah.
If their boil's more vigorous, though, you might not have to.
Oh, yeah. But also I can...
You shouldn't have to at all.
Thicken it up to get a nice... Yeah. Thick body.
Nice molasses.
Like, I love that molasses body that like Twin Sails gets on some of their huge Imperial Stouts.
Oh, yeah. Well, then what yeast did you use on this one?
I can tell you that. Yeah. 1 second. This was
what?
Nottingham.
Oh, yeah.
Two packs of Nottingham.
Yeah, I thought so.
Nice and fruity.
Yeah.
SO4 would have done something similar.
Yeah. That's just, I think this is... I took this recipe was a blend of one that Cam gave me and then another one that I found online that sounded really interesting. So I kind of pulled from both and kind of made my own recipe out of them.
That's how you start writing recipes.
It's not bad.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Pretty much.
Bless you.
Gazoon tight.
But it's good, but I wanted a little more sweetness. Yeah. Sort of like yours, right?
Yeah. Oh, big time. Like you say, you're in. You're your own worst critic.
Yeah, right? And I mean, I've only been brewing since
a
couple months into the pandemic, so I mean, I'm doing pretty decently.
Absolutely, this is pretty darn good.
Now, I'm not I'm not trying to go make a light flavored lager because probably won't make a good one, and I don't really care to drink them either.
That? What would you do with it?
It's not something you'd enjoy.
No,
drinking,
not at all.
Right? Yeah.
So fucking terrible.
Yeah. There's no point in making something you don't want to drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not passionate about it, don't bother.
Yeah, that's why I'm making 9%+ stouts and 8% IPAs when I was making them.
And you know what the best part about making stouts is? Malts are a lot cheaper
than
hops.
Yeah. That's why I'm making mostly Russian Imperial Stouts now. Because when I was making 3-gallon batches of IPA, it cost more than a 5-gallon batch of Russian Imperial Stout.
Yep.
And it was like, a 6-7% IPA or a 9%+ Imperial Stout. It's just like, this is silly. Let's just make stouts.
which is funny because I was thinking about my next brew and I'm like, I got a lot of USO5 in my fridge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got a bunch of extra hops that I've ordered a bit too much on my brew days. So I've got a bunch of IPA hops that I probably can do a batch of IPA right now without ordering any hops.
Yep.
So I'm probably going to do an IPA next or very soon.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Next homebrew episode, IPAs.
I'll probably save a bottle of the Smoke and Mirrors if it's any good.
And that.
Better be good.
Although I have to bring a bottle of it to Thomas Batty from
Smuggler's
Trail, formerly of Cole Harbor Brewing. Yeah. He gave me the recipe.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a great dude.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. No, I when he left Cole Harbor, because Cole Harbor closed down, that was the best version of Smoke and Mirrors they had ever produced. Good. And I'd been a judge for the Okanagan Festival, and I had fought against that beer winning awards before. Lost, but I fought against it. By the end of that beer, I'm a massive fan of that beer, and I'm so bummed that it's no longer on the market.
I've had versions of it that were really nice.
Oh, just so good, yeah. So I'm hoping mine's drinkable. We'll see. First ever smoked beer. We'll see.
It'll be drinkable, but will it be good?
No, that's what I said, drinkable. Hope it's drinkable. It smelled amazing on brew day. It smelled amazing when it was just blowing off like mad and I threw the hose. Because you can smell it like when it's blowing into that sanitizer water.
That's always a good indication.
The whole room is just amazing aroma.
Beautiful.
Fruity and smoky.
The first couple of days. Yeah. It fills up the house.
Did you make a hot scotchy with that one?
No, I just
that would have been the one to do it for, though.
Right?
I always pull off some liquid and kind of taste it. Yeah, and it was good for sure.
It's so funny, we'll see. If you do that consistently, you have a taste of the wort before fermentation.
Yeah,
and then you taste the beer after fermentation. You start to get an idea of what that wort will taste like with the sweet component removed.
Yeah.
And you can, after a little bit of experience, you can really get a pretty good idea of what that finished beer is going to taste
Although,
like.
Although, the wort for this, I wish it had more of that flavor, because it was definitely too sweet.
Right.
It was just like, ooh, that tastes like it's going to go somewhere I like.
Yeah.
So it was just like, ah, damn it.
Random new brewer question. When you guys are tasting the wort, do you expect, like, to lose a lot of the sweetness in that flavor?
Almost all of it.
Almost right? All. Okay.
Depending on the style of beer.
Because I was like, I was drinking the one the other day that I helped on, and I was like, this is like drinking fucking like a tea
sugar
right
syrup.
Now.
Yeah.
Tea.
Yeah.
It tasted like literally like tea with 12 spoons of sugar in it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
You're probably going to lose like 97.
It all gets eaten up by the yeast and shit.
Exactly. 97% of
the
sugar is going
to I'm learning.
The sweeter it tastes, the higher alcohol you're going to get.
Really?
Yeah. More sugar equals more alcohol.
That's like yeast turns that sugar into alcohol.
Okay, I'm really excited now.
It's like this batch of Russian Imperial Stout that I did.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah.
Yes.
This batch.
Depends
like,
on what strain of yeast you're using.
Yeah.
If you have lactose.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Lactose is an unfermentable sugar.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
But like this batch, I ordered it up so that it should have been like almost 11% alcohol. But there was still a lot of room for grain and water, so I think I might jack up the numbers anyways. I mean,
just go hard.
Just go hard.
Go hard or go home.
And when it comes down to it, I'll have to I'll probably add less water too, so it's just pulling off more sugar.
Right. As a home brewer, the cheapest thing you can do is add more grain.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I still one day want to try. I've got a recipe book from BrewDog, and they have the Tokyo recipe.
Oh, God.
And you do what do you call it when you don't do a sparge? You just take the first runnings. You have to do two first runnings.
Of this
huge grain bill.
And then after it's fermented out and everything, then you have to freeze distill it.
Nope. That one's just straight up fermenting. Yeah. And it's only to what is it, 15 or 16% or something?
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of some of the other ones.
You're like looking at Tactical Nuclear Penguin.
Yeah, and the Bismarck and some of those other ones.
Remember that beer I brought from Texas that was 14.2%?
Oh, what was that?
Guadalupe's.
That was fire.
And that was 14.2% and tasted like it was 8.
Shittiest label and best beer.
yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's when you do a brew day where you take your first runnings to make that beer, and then you add more sparge water to make your small beer.
Yeah, I did that once, and
flavor of your small beer?
What was that?
Did you like the flavor of the small beer?
It was good, but I made sure I added, because my Imperial Stout had, I forget what the sugar addition was.
Brown, probably.
It was all brown, but I don't know how much it was, But I basically did almost the same size addition of sugar just because I had it.
Yeah.
So I still got like a 4% stout on the side. And it was actually pretty good. It was probably one of the, because I'm not a big fan of low alcohol beers, but it was it still had a pretty decent flavor for like 4-ish% alcohol, maybe 3.5.
Cool.
I'll probably do it again one of these days, especially once I get a little better at this.
Yeah, you do a double brew day instead of your 6 hours or whatever. You do like a 10-hour day and get two beers out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Even when you say you're not a fan of low alcohol stouts.
Yeah, or like, beer in general.
Yeah, but like the Tactical Turtleneck from ABC, that's a 5% stout.
I actually had that again recently.
And it's a good stout.
It's such a goddamn
good stout. Yeah, like
everything they put out is good in my opinion. I'm sorry.
Like, no, it is great.
ABC, I think, is one of the most underrated breweries in BC.
You know you're wearing their hat right now.
Yeah. No, but I agree. I think part of the problem for them is that you really can't find the beer anywhere.
Unless they can't go to the brewery.
Yeah.
And location of is very hard. I mean, I love the place to death. And like Cleet and Alex are dope as hell.
Oh, yeah.
But to get there, especially for me, I'm on the West Coast Express. I'd have to go catch a SkyTrain. Get off, almost get hit, crossing the street. Unless you know about the secret stairs. No, I use the secret stairs now so I don't die.
Yeah.
And then walk there, then walk back, get back on, transfer to a bus in Coquitlam. It takes fucking a year and a half for me to get
that
there.
Bad.
But, from Pimentos, it is, sir.
Drink was right there.
Yeah, but I take the West Coast Express.
Children.
But saying that, they're an amazing brewery.
You're a pretty good-looking guy, though. You could probably sell something now.
Well, I'd have to. I'd have to hook, bro. I don't know.
Wow,
that's heading somewhere dark. I like you,
but yeah. They're one of my favorite breweries. It's just and unfortunately, like you don't always want to head to the brewery to pick up beer.
Yeah,
but they don't have to worry about selling it elsewhere because the amount they make is just enough for the tasting room.
Yep.
Now, they took over the space next door, and I feel that there probably will be an increase in production when they fully utilize the space, I think.
They can't not distribute with the increased size, I feel like.
Yeah, so I've heard that the space next door is going to be the tasting room.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they're essentially going to turn what they have now into the brewery.
That's what I've heard, too,
because they have all the fridge in there and everything else. So they get rid of the counter space and everything else is already on that
building
side. So why not just add more?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And bringing more tanks into that space where you just demolish the bar or wherever. The drainage is always in there. The vaulted ceilings.
They could put in some full-size tanks instead of the smaller tanks they've bought.
Yeah, and I mean their office is on that side and shit really too, so they might have to build like I'm guaranteeing that space next door has bathrooms already.
Their autographed Hansen poster is up there.
Yeah, they're
probably triple their tasting room capacity.
You went into a song, Fox.
Yes, you did.
Yeah,
you sung it.
Last time I was in there, I noticed there was like a huge arcade a couple doors down.
Oh, dude, that place is lit.
It's just massive.
You can rent, during COVID, you could rent it out. I think it was like 10 people for like $200.
Yeah.
And you get 2 hours free gameplay.
Crazy. Like,
oh, yeah.
We should we should book a time there if it's still doing it, and we'll just go get tanked at ABC.
I may be wrong, but I think they actually do allow you to bring ABC's beers in there.
Okay,
they
didn't
may sell them.
Maybe if it's a private booking. Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Right?
When I looked into it originally, they didn't, but it could have changed. Yeah.
Well, I poked my head in there last time I was at ABC, and I couldn't believe how big the space was. It was way bigger than I expected when I poked my head in. And they had a zillion freaking consoles.
They got some wicked pinball machines.
They had so many games.
But
I wouldn't mind going and spending an afternoon there sometime. Well, and if you could take ABC beer in with you, that'd be even better.
If not, just pre and post drink.
So I'm not sure what it's called, but I've got Industry Arcade's shop here. And they're also East Van Amusements and says besides another Bruco. So
that's probably it. Yep.
Yeah, the place, it followed on social media, the shit's lit. Yeah. I haven't been there, just stuck my head in, but that'd be the best.
Jordan, should we do the question then?
We should do the question. All right, home brewers and listeners, what was your favorite beer
Better
of
start
the
with
night?
The guest.
Yeah, well, normally I'd throw Warren under the bus, but Todd, out of all the brews you tried tonight, you got to pick one of them as your favorite.
And it can be yours.
It can be yours, yeah.
definitely not mine. My favorite's probably got to be Warren Saison.
Oh, wow.
To be honest.
Thank you.
I think it was an amazing Saison. It was really fucking good.
Okay, don't blow his ego.
Yeah. Yeah. Boop, okay. Boop. It's like the Grinch, but his head is growing two sizes.
Yeah.
You're going to have to adjust the back of your hat. Warren, what was your favorite of the night, my man?
Oh, man, that's a toughie. God, you know what? I think I'm going to go with Mike Stout.
That is not the first time you've gone with mine.
It was good.
It was a good stout. It had good flavor, and it was well-balanced flavors. Even it might have been a little forward with the flavors. It wasn't subdued. It was bold.
Which I am aiming for, but yes.
But the balance and everything was really nice, and you couldn't really tell that it was as high alcohol as it was. So, yeah, good job. I really liked that one.
Mr. Cam on tap there.
All right. So I think in 2 weeks, the answer would be Todd's.
Yeah.
I can see where that beer is going. I already really love it, but I feel like in 2 weeks it's going to be peak
where it's at.
But if we're judging on today's taste, then Mike's Stout for me.
Yeah.
Wow. That right amount of dryness.
Yeah.
Warren and I have similar tastes. We like our beers more dry, and I think it just nails it. Nice. So.
Thank you.
All right, Mike.
Well, Warren's head's going to grow a little bit more here.
Is he going to be able to get out of the building?
Because we're at a tie right now. Warren's, both the IPAs I really liked, but both of them for me had a little too much grapefruit pith kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go with your Saison. Now that the co-pitch really took it to the next level. It wasn't my style. I'm not a big fan of straight Saisons. Saison Bretts I really like if they're done well. And that co-pitch really worked for me.
Well, it's taking it towards the sour territory.
Yeah.
That's what I really
like. Yeah.
I like
the funk or the sour or something in the Saison more than just a straight Saison. Yeah. It's kind of like a slightly fancier, sort of straight up wheat beer. And I'm not a big fan of that.
Right.
So, yeah, I really like that one.
Gotcha. Cool.
Jordan?
All right, guys. I hate to say it, but mine was the best.
Your water?
No. Honestly, though,
hashtag nailed it.
I've had cams before. He did say it dropped. It was really good. I think yours, Todd, is going to level out and be really good. But for that fact, you guys are both cut. saying that, Mike, your stout was fantastic. But Warren's nailed his Saison. I really... For fucking not liking Saisons, it was good.
Yeah, it was.
It had the right flavors. I liked the funk. I liked the sourness. It worked for me this time. So, lo and behold, I'm picking a Saison as my favorite of the night. But honestly, you guys all did a good job.
Mark it down. Episode 199, Jordan picked a Saison.
Edit that out.
Keep that in, Cam. Okay,
right?
So I can't wait to bring this back to you. So I guess I've added some rye and things to it.
Yeah, man. Well, I guess you're the winner of the night. I guess it's 3-2. Woo-hoo! But in saying that, I normally always say, all the beers are good in their own ways.
And, of course.
I don't want to hurt any losers' feelings, so I love you all.
Hey, you're the one that didn't even bring a fucking beer.
Yeah,
you know what I did bring? A Todd.
There you go.
Warren, I'll just say that I'll take with just over a year brewing, I'll take number two.
Right? Yeah, that's not too bad.
Not a bad beer tonight, but combo was great. And actually listening to you guys talk about your systems and stuff, which we haven't done on the homebrew episode yet, is intriguing to me. So I think the listeners will dig that shit too. Most of them brew, but whatever.
Well, the main thing I've heard over the years from homebrewers when they're coming up with excuses why they can't brew, it's always, I don't have enough space. Blah, blah, blah.
I just have
a
10-month-old
in a small apartment.
Baby.
I live in a small, basement suite or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? I live in an apartment.
I live in a condo.
For 20 years. And I've got no problem making award-winning beers on my kitchen stove.
Yeah, none of us, so, I don't know about you, but no none excuses. Of us live in houses. We live in
Says the guy with no condos. Kids. Both the guy with no kids are like, what's
well, your as long as you have the time.
Yeah.
If you don't have the time, that's a good excuse.
That's a good excuse.
But beyond space, that, space is not an excuse.
Well, I mean, the only time I'd brewed before this was with Steve.
Yep.
And it was a one-gallon system, the Brooklyn Brew Shop. I mean, 1 gallon's kind of silly, but you can brew at really small scale, which takes no space at all.
Oh, yeah. If you can start with 1 gallon batches. Yeah.
If you've got a stock pot or a pasta pot and a 1 gallon
you can use a fermenter. Pot and a growler if you really want to.
Yeah. Get a bag and do the brew in a bag, and you're ready to go.
Yeah. The only downside of the brew in the bag is it's hard to clean that bag out. That's why I stopped.
Put in the washer.
I just try to get the grain out of it and stuff.
Yeah, it takes a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's the trade-off.
Well, should we say goodbye, boys?
I think so.
Well, here's to 199. The next episode will be 200. It's going to be a milestone, and it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a banger.
We're going to try and cover beer from all across the province, so make sure you tune into this one. It's going to be insane.
It's going to get messy.
Oh, yeah, and shout out to Todd for joining us tonight and bringing his beers. Yeah. If you want to follow him, check out his Instagram at KiwiDrinksBC. And also check mine out, Pick Craft Beer Dad. Shout out, what? All right.
Oh my.
Well, thanks, guys. It was great. Your beers were awesome. Let's do it again.
Yeah. So if you want to find us on social media,
It's at pacificbeerchat.com or at pacificbeerchat on Insta, basically every other handle, Twitter, Facebook. Just plug it in. You'll find us.
Yeah. And if you want to send a message to the show, you can go to feedback@pacificbeerchat. Or if you want to book with us, send an email to
jordan@pacificbeerchat.com.
All right. And if you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/pacificbeerchat. Money goes towards hosting and upgrading equipment and all that. So shout out to Steve.
And yes, Ross Vanderhoek.
Yes.
Thanks, Ross.
Ross. Woo.
Steve, you better be here for 200.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
I was going to say, picture time.